The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Reddy Real Estate. Good morning, I'm Jackie Reddy, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
Great, how are you?
Pretty good.
Looking forward to our discussion.
Yes, this is going to be a good one.
For the second week in a row, we have Sharon Generati, loan officer and manager with a local lender. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie and Pat. How are you?
Thanks for being here with us. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions, or if you'd like to suggest a topic that we haven't covered, send it to questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, check out the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab and take a look and see what's going on at the corners. Check on the weather.
View our listings or search the MLS listings or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is also mobile friendly. Remember to look us up on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Once again, Sharon Generati, loan officer and manager with a local lender. How long have you been doing mortgages?
A little over 20 years.
Okay. And you've seen it all.
I have seen it all. Good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right. So what's the rate? The interest rate?
That's right. Always what's the interest rate? That's a good question.
Let's see.
You know, Jackie, rates depend on a lot of variables. Your credit score, your loan to value, what type of program you're in, what you're looking to do, what type of property you're purchasing. There's a lot of factors that go into interest rate. I love when people call me and say, what's your rate today? I'm like, well, I need, you know, a couple variables to figure it out. Well, just tell me what the rate is.
Right.
I can tell
that's
you
that's what
anything,
I get to.
Yeah.
When I'm picking out bananas at the grocery store, what's
and
the rate?
It depends. It does. It depends on too many variables for me to be able to say, here's what the rate is today.
Absolutely. It depends on PMI, private mortgage insurance.
Absolutely.
It depends on how many points you're going to pay.
Absolutely. A lot of variables go into the rate. It's not a cut and dry, this is the rate today. It really depends on the borrower and what exactly it is they're trying to accomplish.
Okay, so the rate depends on a lot of different factors, so we can't just have a blanket rate that's out there and quote to people. So it depends. And to this week, I thought we would talk about credit repair, credit worthiness. If someone doesn't have credit, what they can do. If someone has bad credit, what they can do. Maybe some bankruptcies and foreclosure discussions. If someone had a bankruptcy in their past. If they had a foreclosure in their past, what's going on there? What happens as a lender? They're not banned forever from buying another home. There's hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel. What they have to do to get to that point again where they can purchase a home, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. With bankruptcy, the fallacy or what people believe used to be 7 years. You couldn't do anything for 7 years. No buying a house, no getting a credit card, no... But, you know, bankruptcy is a lot more forgiving these days than it was then. And there is hope. It's much easier to overcome that obstacle and rebuild your credit and be able to purchase a home.
So in terms of length of time waiting after bankruptcy, what are we looking at then?
It really depends on the type of loan. If we're looking at FHA, it's 2 years for a Chapter 7 from the discharge. So if your loan was discharged in April of 2013, you could have bought a house in April of 2015. Now, just because your loan discharged and your 2 years are up, you had to have reestablished some credit or have kept some of your credit. You need a credit score. You need to have made your payments on time. One of the worst things you can do after a bankruptcy is be late on a payment. That's a big no-no. If you are going conventionally on a bankruptcy, out of bankruptcy, it's 4 years from discharge or 4 years from the dismissal date. On a VA, it's 2 years on a VA loan. So if you have your VA status and you're a vet and you've come back and you're willing to to buy a house, you're worried about your bankruptcy, if it's been 2 years from discharge and you've established some new credit, you should be good to go.
Okay. How about if someone had a foreclosure in their past?
A foreclosure is a little different. On a conventional mortgage, it's 7 years from the completion date, or 3 years if it was extenuating circumstances. If something dramatic happened and we can document it, maybe a bad car accident, ended up in the hospital for 6 months, something that we can document that's an extenuating circumstance, that the only reason you had the foreclosure was because of this circumstance, then it's 3 years.
What about a divorce or job loss? Are they extenuating?
No. Job loss, possibly. Divorce, not normally. Because the way they view it is, just because you got divorced doesn't mean you should stop paying your bills. I mean, I get it. A lot of times you're left holding the bag and you've got, you know, $1,000 a month going out and $500 a month coming in. There's too much month at the end of the money. But you need to make every effort. And your best bet, if you're in that situation, your best bet is to contact your creditors. Don't ignore them. Ignoring a creditor is not an
bad
answer.
Very
bad, 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 bad,
very bad.
Contact your creditors. They'll work with you. I mean, the majority of them will work with you, and at least you've made an effort. You know that you've tried to do everything you can before getting to that point. But on a VA with a foreclosure is 3 years from the date of completion as well. USDA is 3 years on a foreclosure. And on FHA, it's also 3 years. So normally 3 years is your main target, 7 years conventional, unless there's extenuating circumstances.
Okay. All right. Now, what about credit? Credit blemishes, no credit, bad credit?
Well, obviously, with the economy the way it's been the last 10, 12 years, it's hard to find a borrower who doesn't have a credit issue, or if it had a credit issue, either because of loss of a job, downsizing, displacement. We're looking at your overall credit picture. Normally, we're looking at the last 12 to 24 months. So if you had something that went bad 3 years ago, even 2 years ago, but you've been good, you set it up, you called the creditor, you've been making your 12-month payments on time, that's what we're looking at. Your 12-month history, that's the important thing. If you don't have a credit score, maybe you've never established credit, but you pay your rent every month by check or money order, you have a cell phone bill because cell phones don't report, so it's not helping you establish credit, you pay your utilities, I could take those trade lines and build you a credit score and get you in a home.
All right, good news. How long do you take to give a pre-approval? If somebody wants to buy a house, they want to figure all this out, it's overwhelming, they don't know where to start, we always tell them to start with the lender. Go in, sit down with the lender. There's no fees required. They don't have to pay you anything to get a pre-approval. But this is what they need to know before they start looking at a house. A, to find out how much the house they can afford, and B, if they can get the loan closed. So when they sit down with the pre-approval, how long of a time frame are they looking at? Is it months, weeks, days, hours?
Normally, if you come into my office and we do an application, before you leave, I can tell you if you're pre-approved. On occasion, there is something that maybe I want to run past an underwriter or let someone else take a second glance at because I'm not feeling 100% comfortable with giving you a pre-approval letter. But normally, if you're there or you go to my website and put an application on, within 24 hours, I'm calling and telling you what we can or can't do.
Okay. And is it fully underwritten at that point?
No, it's not fully underwritten, but it's run through the decisioning engine. So it's run through a Fannie Mae engine. It's run through a Freddie Mac engine. We're getting a guideline. It's telling us, you know, what if it's approved eligible and what it is we're going to need to verify. Now, if you come in and you tell me you make $50,000 a year and I pre-approve you on that, but then you bring me your W-2s and your pay stubs and you only made $25,000 a year, that's a different story.
Yeah, and that happens.
But right, it does. But if you come in and you know your information, 99.9% of the time, I'm comfortable saying this is going to fly, and it does. It works.
So what's the difference between a pre-approval letter and a pre-qualification letter?
Well, the difference being, one, you've seen the W-2s, the pay stubs, the bank statements. You've verified the information they've given you. A pre-qualification means that we've reviewed it. A pre-approval means I've run the decision based on what you've told me but haven't verified the documents.
So you need verification.
I do. A lot of times now, especially now, I'll ask the customer to send me their W-2s, their pay stubs, their bank statements ahead of time. In this day and age, everything's online. They can email to me quickly. They don't have to come in. 90% of the time, I never meet them until we get to closing. They're, you know, it's a world where everything is done over the internet, over the phone. Everybody's busy. Nobody wants to sit down. I'll take the time if it's a first-time home buyer and they want to sit down. I'm more than happy to meet you in my office. But the majority of the time, they're like, just, you know, send me the disclosures. They're e-signing. They're faxing. They're scanning. And we do it that way.
Well, there's a lot of fear of the unknown. And I think it's an intimidating process. But it's a very important process to start at your point, at the lender point, instead of going out. Oftentimes people want to just, well, can I just see the house? Yes, of course you could just see the house. But if you want the house, there are things that you need to know before making an offer. In fact, most sellers want that information, need that information to be able to know whether to accept an offer or not.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to know what you're, not only how much you're approved for, but what type of loan you're approved for, to make sure the properties you're looking at meet the qualifications as well.
And not only that, but we have to, realtors, real estate agents, have to know how to structure that agreement of sale and have to put in the correct information.
Correct.
In the mortgage contingency area.
Absolutely. If it's a buyer that needs a seller assist for closing, if it's a buyer that's going to need, you know, some other type of help, we need, or using a down payment assistance program, that's something that the realtor needs to know ahead of time so it can be structured correctly.
Let me ask you a question. A lot of lenders won't send realtors mortgage commitment letters anymore. It's part of our contract that a mortgage letter or mortgage commitment has to be delivered by such and such a date. It's usually a week or two before a closing date. This is pertinent information. As a listing agent, I do a lot of listings, represent a lot of sellers. It's become very frustrating to hear out there in the world and where we do our business that some lenders, not all, some lenders are not sending mortgage commitment letters to realtors. They'll send it to the buyer, but they will not send it to the realtor. Are you sending them to realtors?
Yes. We're not sending the full commitment that lists everything that the buyer still needs to provide to us or any kind of personal information, but there is a sheet that says your loan is approved.
I need to know that.
And that's all you need. That's right. The rest of it is the buyer, between the buyer and the lender, but there's no reason you shouldn't be able to get something that says your loan is approved.
I agree. Okay. All right. Well, we're headed towards a break. This is Sharon Generati, local loan officer, manager, local lender. Can I have your contact information, please?
Absolutely. I can be reached on my cell phone at 570-417-1428 or on the web at www.sharongenerati.com. That's www.sharongenerotti.com.
Thank you, Sharon. Pat?
Yes, we have a three-bedroom home with lots of possibilities located at 1305 Sanderson Avenue in Scranton for only $25,000. That's less than a car cost. This is a solid property, but it does need some work. It has hardwood floors, off-street parking, and vinyl siding. The plumbing has been roughed in for an additional bath on the first floor, and there is a perfect spot for a first-floor laundry. That's a three-bedroom home that needs work at 1305 Sanderson Avenue in Scranton for only $25,000, and that's listed by Aaron Pierce of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Bethlehem was recently named one of the top 50 cities to live in, snagging ninth place on the list. The website 247wallstreet.com declared Bethlehem one of the most livable in the United States, and this is according to the Pennsylvania Association of Realtors. It has a population of 78,500 residents. Bethlehem has enough residents without being too overwhelming. The median home value is $165,000, and the typical American home median value is $181,000. Bethlehem has grown over the last decade by 15.5% in population, which is higher than the national average of 10.5%. Nearly a quarter of residents have at least a bachelor's degree, and that's thanks to the Lehigh University, which is housed in Bethlehem. Approximately 5,000 undergraduate and graduate students attend the university, and the town is affordable for both college students and professionals. According to the report, the costs associated with healthcare, transportation, and utilities are all below the national average in Bethlehem. The city, which formerly served as the headquarters for Bethlehem Steel, has an abundance of attractions and restaurants. The city has a significantly higher share of restaurants, libraries, and museums than the nation as a whole. The city's poverty rate is 14.8%. That's slightly above the national rate of 14.5%. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be right back after a very brief break. The real estate market is extremely active, and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I know Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Hello again.
Are you taking notes?
Yes, I am.
You better be, because
yes,
there's a
lots
quiz.
More to come on the second half.
There's a final exam
before
you leave this studio today, and you got to pass it, or else you're going back to real estate school. We have Sharon Generati, local lender, loan officer, and manager. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
We're having a fantastic discussion with you. I appreciate your time last week and this week. I want to talk about some of the things that you do that nobody else does. So do you have competitive rates? We opened the show. We asked you what the interest rate was in the beginning of our show today, and you said it depends. There's a lot of variables. There's a lot that goes into the interest rate. But overall, how do your rates compare to your competitors?
It does. Our rates are extremely competitive. We pull out a rate sheet once a week or so. It comes out with all our competitors in the area, and we are always in the top 2, 3, 4th spot, depending on what the program is, as to where our rates are.
Okay, so you are competitive regarding rates.
Absolutely, and you come to me with a rate, I'll meet it or beat it. So
if people shop around.
Absolutely. If they shop around, they think they can get a better rate, and I'm a smidge off, I will meet or beat that rate. Absolutely.
It's not always about the rate, though.
It's not about the rate.
There's another APR.
APR.
That they really should be looking at and concerned about, too.
Right. APR, your annual percentage rate, that takes into consideration the way that changes is based off of your closing fees. So you may be getting what you think is a great rate, but paying points for it, and that's going to adjust your APR. So you really want to compare APR to APR. Make sure you're comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges. When you're looking at comparing two lenders, ask for that loan estimate. You want to see what you're actually paying and what they're offering.
Right. So I find that most people do focus on interest rate. Is that what you find too?
They do. Most people do focus on interest rate, and the interest rate is not always the most important thing.
Okay. All right. So does everybody have to, when they get a mortgage, when they buy a house, do they have to escrow for taxes and insurance?
You do have to escrow if you're not putting 20% down. With 20% down, that way you then have the opportunity to waive your escrow.
And some like to waive the escrow.
They do. A lot of people like to pay their own taxes, and that's fine. We have no problem with that. Where I work, we do not hit you for a fee for waiving that escrow. There are other lenders that you will pay a quarter of a point fee for waiving the escrow. We do not do that. Now, I do want to clarify, with FHA, you're not waiving the escrow. It doesn't matter what you're putting down. You're required to escrow an FHA.
And VA.
And VA.
Absolutely. Okay, those are the government loans.
Yes.
Federal Housing Administration, Veterans Administration loans. You are required to do an escrow.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, do you have a loan to value that's different than competitors on investment properties?
We do. On the single family investment program, just a single family, an investor can come to us and purchase a home with as little as 15% down. Majority of lenders out there are looking for 20 to 25% down on a single family investment. We will do with just a single family home with 15%.
And that's good to know, because there's a lot of people that want to purchase single family homes as an investment.
Absolutely. It's a it's definitely a niche program that does bring us, you know, bring us a lot of business because of that 15% down. As an investor, you're always going to be required to put money into the house. You're never going to buy an investment program with no money down. That's just not going to happen. They want to see you have some skin in the game. So 15% on a single family is that's a really good niche.
But they found a program on the internet that said 0% down.
Yes, they did. They did. Mm-hmm. And normally after 35, 40, 60 days, they're back looking for another lender to do that program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. If it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Yeah, I saw 2% interest on TV. Can you get me that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So do's and don'ts.
A lot of things to do and don't. Let's talk about your money. What you need to do for your down payment, your closing fees. Do not put cash in the bank. Do not. If you're already in the process, do not deposit cash. If you're looking to buy a home and you have cash in your home that you're planning on using to buy that home, get it in the bank. It needs to be in the bank for 60 days. It needs to be sourced and seasoned if it's not in there for 60 days. By that, I mean we need to show where it came from and how long it's been there. 60 days is the time frame. If you give me your bank statement and you have a $3,000 cash deposit and you tell me it was in a box under my bed, I can't use that money towards your down payment. So you need to get it in the bank. If you're planning on buying a home in the future, put your money in the bank.
So seasoned is 60 days.
Seasoned is 60 days.
Okay, so all different people get paid differently. Some people get a check still. Some people get direct deposit. What do you have to say about people that take their check to the bank and cash it every Friday, maybe deposit some of it and cash the other part of it?
Okay, so if you're going to buy a house, if you're direct deposit, that's perfect. I can see that you work at XYZ company. Your money went in on Friday. That's the deposit into your bank account. If you get paid, if you still get a check in the mail or pick up your check when you go to work, and your check is $750 and you go to the bank and you cash it and you put $650 in the bank and $100 in your pocket, that's hard for me to document. If you're going to buy a house, deposit your whole check so we can season or we can source where that money came from. You can give me a copy of your pay stub. It matches with your deposit. Then take your money out. So these are things, little things that you don't think about that make a big deal, but it's going to save you a lot of paperwork in the long run. If you're going to buy a house and you know it, deposit your whole check, then take out what you need. Don't cash your check and put in some of the cash. That's one of the biggest hangups, I think, when it comes to sourcing deposits off a bank statement. The other thing is gift money. If someone gives you a gift, there's documentation that's required for that gift. If you're going to buy a house and your mom and dad are going to gift you money, make sure they write you a check, because they're going to be required to show where that money came from out of their account. You're going to have to show it in your account. We're going to have to show the canceled check, copy of their statement documenting they had the availability to give the funds, and a copy of your statement showing the money in there. Little things that save a lot of time and pressure and hassle when you're trying to buy a house is really documenting your income. Make sure that you can document everything that goes into your account.
What shouldn't you do? Should I go out and open up new lines of credit a week before I'm going to? But you know I need furniture for this house.
That is a very good question. Do not buy your furniture before you own the home. One of the things I like to say, after I've pulled your credit and we've established that we're going to do your loan and we've submitted the loan, don't let anyone else pull your credit. Don't open a credit card because it's 0% and you need appliances. Don't buy furniture. Don't go buy a new car. I'm not saying that we're going to necessarily pull your credit, but if something happens and we need to pull a new credit report and suddenly you have $500 worth of debt you didn't have before, you may have just taken yourself out of the house. So don't pull your credit. Don't have anyone else pull your credit. Don't open any new debt. Wait till you're in the house. Then you can go buy all the furniture you like. Don't do it prior to.
Go to closing.
Yes.
Don't worry about all the other
go
stuff.
To
right after closing, go to the car dealer, not
You'd
before.
You'd be surprised how often that happens. I just had a scare on a loan that actually closed today, actually. And the underwriter got a bank statement. And on the bank statement, you know how some of these bank statements show like your car loans or visas or whatever you have with that company, had a car loan. And his credit report didn't have a car loan with that company. And the underwriter was like, oh my gosh, we have a new car. Here he refinanced. He lowered his payment by $100, but never mentioned it to me. So we were in a panic for maybe 20 minutes till I got hold of him. And we realized it was the same car, lower payment, lowered his income to debt ratio. So all was good. But it could have went the other way.
It could have went south real fast.
It could have knocked him right out of the program.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but those credit card mailings that we receive every day are very enticing.
They absolutely are, but toss them in the mail, in the garbage, until you're done with your loan.
Okay. All right. Good advice. We're headed into the tax season. What do you have to say to anybody that wants to buy a house?
Tax season is a great time to think about buying a home. First of all, we just talked about sourcing and seasoning your down money. What better way to source and season your down money than use your tax return? Tax return can come in handy. It's easy to document. A copy of your tax return, a copy of the check, it gets direct deposited. Perfect opportunity to buy a house. Get your taxes done. Find out how much money you're getting back. Talk to your local realtor. Find a way to call Jackie. Find a way to get into a house. See what kind of house you can get into for the amount of money that you're going to get back. What better time of year than to reinvest in yourself?
Very good advice. Sharon Generati, local lender, loan officer and manager. How does someone get in touch with you?
You can call me on my cell at 570-417-1428 or on the web at www.sharongenerati.com. That's www.sharongenerati.com.
What attracted me to you, Sharon, was the fact that you have competitive rates, a lot of great programs, and special programs for people that a lot of lenders don't provide. So, you know, you have a lot of flexibility here, and it seems like you have a great underwriting team. And how are the appraisals coming back? Because a lot of what we hit last year, a lot of snags that we hit, appraisals seem to be what sunk the ship.
You're right. I have seen that happen in the past. I have to say, honestly, I haven't had any appraisal issues. Knock on wood. Up to this point, appraisals have been good. Values in this area are good. I mean, realtors are pricing where they need to be priced, and appraisals are coming in fine. The biggest issue probably is some minor repairs on an FHA loan. Nothing major. Your realtor will know if the house can go FHA normally, so it's not an issue at that point when we get to where we're ordering an appraisal and then come back and say, well, this house can't go that way. But appraisals have been very well, very good. One of the other niche things, we talked about that 15% on the non-owner rock property. That is a great program for an investor to get started. What better time? We just talked about tax time. You get your tax money, start thinking about investing in real estate.
Non-owner occ means
non-owner occupied.
Okay, so single family, has to be a single family, and it's 15% down.
Right.
Okay, good advice. That gets somebody started, and they can build from there.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of investors started with one property and went from there. I mean,
well, there's a lot of good deals out there.
There are a lot of good deals still out there.
I got to call somebody after this because I've been working with them, showing them the homes, and they say 25 to 30% down for the investment property, and your down payment is half of that.
It is. It is. Again, like the catchy part of it is it's single family, but it's a great product if you have a borrower that fits
there
into that box.
There are so many single family homes that are at an exceptional price.
Yes.
So there's some deals to be had out there, and it's a great way to build.
Absolutely, especially if you get in with the great rates that we're offering now. Your mortgage payment's going to be less than the rent you're going to collect. It's going to pay for itself.
Good advice. 2 weeks of fabulous discussion with Sharon Generati, a local lender, loan officer, and manager. And we enjoyed our time with you. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
We covered a lot of ground, and we got a lot of information out there, great information out there. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes. We have a double-wide ranch, a three-bedroom, two-bath home for $110,000, located at 554 Neville Road in Moscow. This home has many upgrades and was built in 1994. It sits on almost 1 acre of land with 200 feet of road frontage. It has a large garage, a paved driveway, and plenty of off-street parking. This home is in excellent condition with a nice deck, a master bedroom with a master suite, and the taxes are less than $1,800 a year. That's a three-bedroom, two-bath, ranch-style home at 554 Neville Road in Moscow for $110,000, and that's listed by Nick Lawler of our office.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.